You should have seen it. The scandal. This unprecedented moment as the pilgrims came into the city. It was chaotic. I mean, get this. You wouldn't believe it unless I told you, but he rode in on a donkey as if he was some kind of king. I mean, a king that has nowhere to lay his head, I guess. I mean, a donkey? Seriously? You wouldn't believe it, but get this. People waved palm branches and literally covered the road with their cloaks. It was ridiculous. It was dangerous. See, we, the Pharisees, we had set up this delicate relationship between us, the people of God, the people, the Jewish people in Jerusalem, and our Roman occupants. And let's be fair, let's be clear. Rome doesn't like foreign leaders, much less foreign kings. You see, don't think for a second there wasn't tension that day in the Roman guard. I mean, sure, hearing calls of Hosanna, meaning save now, hearing the calls of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, these were normal things to hear between pilgrim to pilgrim as you come into the Passover feast and you come into the Passover festival. These were normal things to hear. See, he wasn't the only pilgrim coming into the city that day, but there was something different about him. See, it was the palm branches. These symbols of victory and kingship. It was the sporadic calls within this uncontrollable crowd, this excitement that was coming in, these sporadic calls that you didn't usually hear every year at the Passover festival. You would hear, "Blessed is the King of Israel," and they were looking at him. You would hear, "Blessed is the Son of David," and they were looking at him. See, that's when we knew we had to do something about this rabbi named Jesus. See, this was not our first run-in with him. We knew about his works and his teachings. We knew that there was a movement among the people. We knew that he had a close-knit group of disciples and followers. We had heard about the healings, the claims of healings, and the claims of miracles. We had even heard, get this, a recent resurrection of the dead. But we had also heard of his blasphemies. Did you know that he claimed to forgive others of their sins? He himself forgives sins. See, this day that he came in on the donkey into the city, this was the breaking point. He was no longer discouraging people from claiming what he thought he was. Whether it was on the streets, whether it was an allusion to it or an implication to it, or whether it was yelled and sung for everyone to hear, he was no longer discouraging people from saying that he was some kind of Messiah, some kind of Savior, some kind of King. And so it was this, it was with this unmatched boldness and authority that day that he arrived in Jerusalem that made the gospel writer in John say this. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Let's pray. Father God, as we begin today, may you be honored, may you be worshiped, may you be praised on this Palm Sunday. May our faith grow together as one family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm so excited to be here today. It is very exciting. All of you, thanks for showing up. All right, beautiful, great. As Pastor Jeff said, we planned this out months ago, I did not know the situation we'd be in, so bear with me as we do this together, but I am excited to talk to you. As an extrovert, anytime I get to hang out with others, I get excited. But before we get back into the scripture, before we continue with the sermon, I thought it'd be fun. Remember, I am a youth pastor. I thought it'd be fun to kind of go over the seven things that we have learned so far in quarantine. And so let's have a little bit of fun. And just to be clear, you can do amens with the emojis or whatever you want to do. But I pray that these things that I have learned, maybe you have learned as well during this season. And so the first thing is this. The first thing that we've learned, many of us have learned, is that teachers are amazing, okay? As many of us have begun, we have noticed that teaching our kids at home is not the easiest thing, okay? My wife Jenny found this cute idea of putting up numbers on a wall to make it look like a cell phone pad, and we were kind of teaching the kids our phone numbers. But as you can see, Gabriel, who I love very much, and he's only four, numbers are just needing to be learned right now, amen? So here's the deal, is teachers are amazing because for a moment I would have him touch five, okay, touch your feet, now touch five, okay, close your eyes, now touch five. And then I would say, touch eight, and he would touch five. And so, teachers, we love you, thank you for all you do, it's amazing, oh my goodness. All right, number two, second thing that we've learned is everyone now knows what they look like in real time from HD cameras. And for some of us, this is a very sobering realization. As I've looked into my phone, trying to do devotions on our Epic Instagram page, as I've done Zoom meetings with youth pastors and, of course, my Epic students themselves and some of my Epic student leaders, I was just looking at myself and I just said, do I look like this all the time? And then I stopped and I went and found my wife and I gave her a hug. And I said, thank you. Thank you for loving me. It's been tough, right? It's been tough out there. Now we know why people wear makeup that are on TV, amen? All right, number three, there will never be another season like this for family time. And so I think this is a huge thing that we need to learn about. We need to accept, we need to engage. And even though I know it can be tough to be with family so much, let's acknowledge that even if you are a part of the essential workers, even if you are working from home, let's acknowledge that there will hopefully, God willing, never be another season like this where we will be able to be with our families as much as we have. And so don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss this blessing of being with our families. Number four, business attire is different for online meetings. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, thank you. Here's the deal. We have all figured out that you can go to a Zoom meeting, business-related, ministry-related, whatever you are in, and they don't have to know what you're wearing down here. You can do sweatpants. You can do shorts. You can do whatever you want. It's been a great thing to learn that clothes don't need to be washed as much, maybe in this season of quarantine. All right, number five, we must be careful with our worship songs. This is a huge thing that I learned. As many of you know, in the church, we have learned that, you know, worship can bring some tension, whether it's different styles, different generations. But here's what's beautiful about this time, is that we can all agree that there are some songs we should not be singing right now, and there are some songs we should be. For example, we should not be singing for the next few weeks, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." It's not going to be sung. We cannot be singing "Close to Thee." And then my personal favorite, Pastor Jeff will not be doing a solo in the next few weeks of "He Touched Me." That song will not be sung. Now, if you're being offended by me joking about these songs, and by the way, these are jokes, and if you guys know me, if you've been to this church, you guys don't laugh in person anyway, but I pray you're having fun on your couch right now. But listen, if you're offended, just know that I know the song, and it's a great song. Go listen to it. "He Touched Me." Now, here's some songs that we can be singing tonight or throughout this next few weeks. These should be on repeat. They should be in your kitchen. You should be singing "Give Us Clean Hands and Give Us Pure Hearts." You should be singing "Trust and Obey." And my personal favorite that you should be on repeat waking up to is "I Come to the Garden Alone." Sing these songs with your family. Sing these songs as you drive to your essential job. Number six, we got to keep moving, guys, and I'm trying not to talk too fast. Here we go. Essential everyday workers matter. We have learned this, truthfully, in this time of quarantine. See, we have been reminded, it's not to say that we didn't already know this or we didn't think this, but we've been reminded that the blue collar, the shift work, the people who take care of us are worthy of our thankfulness. And that nothing against these other people, but that the talking heads, the politicians, the influencers are just not as important anymore as the people who are taking care of us and moving our society forward. And then lastly, the last thing and the most exciting thing, and I mean this with all my heart, is that we have been reminded and we have learned that our God is bigger than any building. Amen? If you haven't noticed, the church has not stopped. God has not stopped. The gospel has not grown weary, and the hope of Christ is only growing as we get to watch, and I'm specifically saying this, the people of God, not just pastors, but the people of God continue to show up online and on the internet more and more and more, reminding people that our God reigns. And so I hope you enjoyed those things that we have learned or that I have learned. But today as we continue, today is Palm Sunday. And I hope that as we begin this Holy Week, unlike other Holy Weeks of the last few years, last few decades really, right? That we would, in a very real way, feel a difference. That this forced slowing down of life, that we would really notice the beauty that the church, capital C Church, across the whole world, across the whole planet, that even as we're self-quarantined, that the church is coming together to celebrate what Christ has done. This week of leading up to the empty tomb. And so this week that has been marked forever in the Gospels as a testimony of Jesus' unmatched love. And so that's what we're talking about today, unmatched love. Unmatched meaning not matched or equaled, meaning you are emphasizing that it is better or greater than all other things of the same kind. You see, friends, it's fun as a preacher to recognize that there's tension, right? It's not to say that other people haven't loved, but there's something unmatched and something different and more powerful about Jesus Christ's love. See, there are people throughout humanity and throughout history that God has given us the courage to be able to die for someone else. Whether it's a fellow soldier, whether it's a time of tragedy or an instance of a difficult moment in our lives, humans have been able to have the courage to die for others. Jesus Christ even acknowledged this when he said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And yet the love of Christ is unmatched. It is better and greater than our love. And here's why. Christ's love is unmatched in that Jesus' love is unconditional. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He was with the Father in the beginning. I mean, he is the beginning of all things. Christ's love is unmatched. It is unconditional. Secondly, Christ's love is different in that Jesus' love is enduring and powerful. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, friends, I'll admit I had a little bit of an insecurity. I've been preaching the last couple Novembers when we do our Be Rich campaign. And I preach on this idea of love. And I'll just admit to you, like, there's scriptures that keep on popping into my sermons. And the Holy Spirit reminded me this week, listen, my word isn't going to change. My truth isn't going to change. And so these are popular scriptures here, but they matter. And so Christ's love is different, as we just read from Romans 8. And now Christ's love is different in the fact that Jesus' love is sacrificial. Again, a popular verse, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. See, unmatched. There's a difference between dying for someone you love, someone you know, a fellow soldier, a family member, whatever the example that you can find of sacrificing yourself. There's a difference between that and what happened that day that Jesus entered Jerusalem on that donkey. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm in fact not a Pharisee, okay? As I began the sermon today, I reflected on the very real and historical moment, this beautiful moment full of tension, full of victory, as Jesus triumphantly entered the city. And while I was not there in person, the scripture that the Pharisees that I read that stuck out to me and bothered me about the Pharisees was this, and let's read it again. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. See, this bothered me. because it bothered me because I feel like it hits home. It hit home for me, and I feel like it might hit home for you, possibly. See, what happens in our lives when Jesus is no longer getting us anywhere? What happens in our hearts when we look at our faith and wonder, what do I get? What happens when we start to believe the lies of this world that say, take care of you and yours? See, do we become like the Pharisees, unable to see who Jesus really is, even as he marches in on a donkey, even as people are waving their palm branches and they shout praise, do we become like the Pharisees some days? Unable to see who Jesus really is, even as he enters our lives victoriously over and over and over again. Are we unable to see Jesus even when he continues to show up in our lives over and over again against all of our shortcomings? See, his love was unmatched by this simple and cold irony. The same people who shouted and sang, Hosanna, who shouted and sang, blessed is the King of Israel, blessed is the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These same people would soon be yelling, crucify him in just a few short days. Kill him in just a few short days. See, this is an unmatched, undeserving love that we get to claim as followers of Jesus. During this holy week, Jesus was betrayed, he was denied by one of his closest friends and disciples, and he was mocked. This is what makes his love an unmatched love. This unmatched love saved us on that first Good Friday. His love was unmatched, and a synonym for unmatched is this. His unmatched love is odd. And yes, the cross is an odd love. The cross, as the Apostle Paul used the word foolishness, the cross was a foolish thing to us humans. Because it was odd for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be walking to his death and to his cross when he did nothing. It was odd that he didn't die for some sort of king or, you know, some sort of president, or he didn't die for his Father in heaven. His Father in heaven was safe. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm trying to get at is, for us as humans, for this to be an unmatched love, for this to be an odd love, for Paul to use the word foolish, it doesn't make sense to us. Because it makes sense if you die for someone of great importance. But that's the thing. That's how much Christ loves us. So that even if we don't feel like it, in the heart of Jesus Christ, we were worth it. We were important. See, he died for sinners like us that have yet to even reciprocate the love that he has given. We have yet to be able to even love him back. While we were still sinners, he died. This is an odd love, and this is an unmatched love that will not go away for anyone or any quarantine or any virus. This unmatched love, as we see, continues to live in our hearts today because it is our God that has this unmatched love. It is our Savior that has this unmatched love. Our Savior, friends, is undefeated. And Pastor Jeff is going to talk about that next week. But let me just say this, our Savior's love is above anything and anyone else who calls for our attention and our devotion. And so, friends, this is the second part of the gospel. The first part of the gospel is simply this: for God so loved the world that he came and he died for us, that we might have life. The second part of the gospel is this: our response, our Christian duty, is to give all faith, all devotion, and all praise to the Jesus who entered Jerusalem today on Palm Sunday. To the Jesus who went to the upper room on Maundy Thursday and taught his disciples about real love and real service. He washed his disciples' feet. He taught them the first communion. He said, remember me, remember my blood, remember my body. See, all our Christian duty, the second part of the gospel, is to give all praise and all faith and all devotion to the Jesus Christ who died on the cross on Good Friday. While still petitioning and praying for our forgiveness, he gave himself to the work of his Father. See, this is an unmatched love that gives us hope today, even in 2020. In a lockdown world, in a worried world, we know where our hope comes from, and we know who will win the day. See, this is what we should be doing during this time of quarantine and during this holy week. We should be creating for ourselves holy moments during this holy week. And so honestly, go ahead and take a screenshot of this. This is my mid-sermon challenge to all of you. Take a screenshot. Use a phone to take a picture of your TV or your laptop right now. And I challenge you to praise God, to worship God by acknowledging him, by reading his scriptures this week. Acknowledge him and know what he did that day in the upper room on Maundy Thursday, that day that he washed his disciples' feet, that day that he was arrested in the garden. Acknowledge him on Good Friday while he was before Pilate, and why he died and how he died on the cross for us. Create for yourself this week, this holy week, holy moments with your family or with yourself. As we begin to end today, I want to highlight two scriptural points. And as you guys know, I'm a youth pastor, so I like to say nuggets. I mean, everyone likes chicken nuggets, amen. But two scriptural points, two scriptural nuggets that I think can help us understand Jesus a little bit better, and this big moment of him entering Jerusalem with this unwavering and unmatched love for us. And so here's the first thing. And honestly, it's kind of fun. I hope that for some of you, these might be things that you've heard for the first time, things that you've learned for the first time. And here's the first one. Jesus was not the first king to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And so for time reasons, this story is found in 1 Kings chapter 1. But let me just tell you what happens. It's the story of how Adonijah tried to steal the crown from Solomon. See, King David was at the end of his life. He was nearing his death. He was very old. And so one of his sons, Adonijah, while knowing that Solomon was already promised the throne, went behind King David's back, went behind Solomon's back, and announced himself king in this secret coronation party, in this fake party, and he only brought people there that would support him. So in secret and behind closed doors, Adonijah took for himself what wasn't his. But King David was told, thankfully, of this plot while it was still happening by his wife Bathsheba, and while the secret coronation fake party was still going on, King David gave this instruction. He told Solomon, along with the prophet Nathan and the priest Zadok, which is kind of a cool note real quick, these two godly men that did not join in Adonijah's deceit and would not join in lies, he said, Solomon and these two godly men, take Solomon and put him on my own mule. And so this is King David speaking. So again, here we go, a kingly donkey. I mean, donkeys were nice back then, okay? Very good. He said, take Solomon to the spring of Gihon and then anoint him Solomon king over Israel. And then after that, parade him back into Jerusalem and let the people know who the true king of Israel is. Does this sound familiar, friends? Rejoicing in the streets, long live the king riding in on a donkey, people off to the side who had evil intentions and plots being thwarted as the true king enters Jerusalem. Do you see the similarities? And here's why this story helps us know more about this second true king who came in on a donkey, Jesus Christ. Here's why this matters. Just like as Solomon's entrance meant the people would know the true king, so did Jesus triumphantly enter the city and show the people both the good and bad who was the real king. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he showed people where they stood. I'm going to say that one again. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, when Jesus enters your life, when Jesus enters the lives of others, he naturally is going to show you and show people where they stand. See, to those who believed that day he entered with the palm branches and the singing. To those who believed, they came closer that day to the Father and to the kingdom. To the Pharisees that day, they now knew who the real authority was and who had the real power. To Rome itself, it would soon know, very soon, it would know whose kingdom would truly last forever. See, friends, when the Son of Man comes, he by nature makes people know where they stand. May we not be disqualified like the Pharisees because of our selfishness. May we be able to celebrate this truth. Jesus came to proclaim the one true God, his Father in heaven, and God's unmatched love for his people. Do not be blinded by the worry of today, by not seeing the true King who comes into your life every day out of God's unmatched love. See, I think I tried to illustrate at the beginning of the sermon. See, there was victory and there was triumph on that first Palm Sunday, but there was surely tension. See, this courage and this boldness and this strength, and as Pastor Tim said last week and preached last week, this unwavering love is why we can say today that Jesus is unwavering. Jesus is unmatched. The second thing that we can learn from knowing about this first story and this first king who came in on the donkey is this, that unlike Solomon, and again, unmatched, meaning greater than Solomon, as many of you know the stories of Solomon, as a king, he did not stay near God, and he did fall away, and he did fall into exile. But this is what makes Jesus' life and love unmatched. This is why we can trust and put our faith in him, because he does not fail or stumble. See, when he entered the city, a king, he left the city, the king. See, when Jesus entered this world, a king, Jesus left this world, the king. Amen? No matter the price of his throne, which was the cross, no matter the price of his crown, which were the thorns that brought pain and hurt and humiliation, he willingly walked to the cross for you and me. See, he is the king that still lives. He is the king that walks with us. He is the king that knows sorrow. He is the king that knows your secrets. He is the king that knows your fears. He is the king that is greater than unemployment. He is the king that is greater than death itself. He is the king that wants to help carry you, who wants to put a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. He is the king that calls for you to rest in calm pastures. Jesus Christ is the king with unmatched love, a love that you will never be found, a love that will never be found, filled, or replaced by anyone else or anything else. We were built, brothers and sisters, to find ourselves within the power and grace of this unmatched love. As we end today, I want to give props to my dad. He's a pastor up in Michigan, and sometimes I'll call him and say, hey, you got any ideas for sermon stuff? And he gave me this new insight, and again, something new that I've learned, and I pray that this might encourage you and grow your faith if you did not know this. See, did you know that Jesus would have sang hymns before he went to the garden to pray and be arrested on that first Holy Week? See, in the upper room that night, as they observed the Passover meal, the Passover meal, this remembering of what God had done for the people of God and rescuing them from Pharaoh and Egypt. Sometime between washing his disciples' feet and taking of the communion, they would have sang hymns. Matthew 26, verse 30 says this, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So before Jesus went to the place where he finally would live out this final act of betrayal and begin his final day to the cross, enduring torture and humiliation, it is well known that the Passover tradition in the Jewish culture, they would have sung from the Great Hallel. And this Great Hallel is the Psalms from 113, Psalm 113 to 118. And so here's what Jesus, the Son of God, with unmatched love, would have sung before he went to the garden to pray. And if you're still with me on your couch, would you close your eyes? I invite you to let this be a prayer for us as we end today, a reminder of who our Savior was as he sang these songs in full knowledge of what was going to happen, in full knowledge that he was going to be betrayed, in full knowledge of this unmatched love that deserves our praise today. And so here are a few of the verses from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And as Jesus went to the garden, as Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, this is what he's saying. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your unmatched love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your strength and your power. And God, all we pray today, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what church community we're a part of, no matter what state we're in right now, Father God, would we praise you and honor you this week by the way we acknowledge your unmatched love, by the way we love others around us. And so thank you for what you did in this most holy week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor JJ. I appreciate those words. Unmatched love. You know, as JJ was preaching and I was following along, another scripture came to mind. I don't want to close with this thought as you go out, as the challenge he gave you. I hope you took a screenshot. You can follow along through the Holy Week. But in Philippians chapter 2, it said this: God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every name. It's unmatched. It's unequal. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I hope that this week you will take those words and you will look deeply into this unmatched love that has been given to you and to me and to all humankind by Jesus' death, but then also his resurrection on the cross. Hope you'll join with us next week. Next Sunday, I'm going to be bringing the word, and I'm going to be talking about his unstoppable love on Easter. I hope that you'll join us. We'll give you some more information about that and how we're going to do that, and also maybe some stuff during the Holy Week. But before we let you go, just a couple things real quick. For those of you who have young kids, anywhere from birth all the way up to fifth grade, I want to remind you that on Sundays at about 8:30 in the morning, you may have already saw it, some of you. If not, you might catch it after this. But we have some videos for our kiddos, and they're broken down by age groups. Go to Kids Cove, North Webster Church of God on Facebook, and you'll see a post there. You click on a link, and it'll send you to some videos. It would be what they would have been studying a little bit, maybe if they were here, but it'll give you a little idea. And then mom and dad, there are also some cue sheets, some questions that you can engage your kids with regarding those topics. So just check that out. It should be there every Sunday about 8:30, and you can do that before this service. You can do it after the service. You can even wait until midweek for a break and to have some time as a family, but I hope you'll check that out. And then one other thing, again, just want to remind you, again, tonight at 6:30, I hope you'll join us on Facebook Live, as we'll be having our second family scavenger hunt, and it's going to be a fun time, and I hope you'll join us. Until then, we thank you for joining us here. Always check out Here First, nwcog.org. We'll be here again next Sunday as well. Let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness. As we go, Lord, may we truly live this unmatched love that you have given to us, that we could become more like your Son, although there is no equal. We thank you for this truth that Pastor JJ shared. Help us to now put it into our own living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday.